Hey, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them to two different passages. The first one is 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 we will be in, and then we'll be in John 8 as well. So I don't know if you want to get both of those, 1 John 4 and John 8, or if you want to go one at a time. You know, the weekend that we remember Christ's atonement for our sin, Good Friday and Easter, that weekend is right around the corner. This is the first of the Lenten lunches this week. April 8th is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. That'll be here before you know it. And by the way, we have special things planned already, although we haven't even had our planning session for that. One of the things we have planned is in this service, which will be the sunrise service, I'm not going to be speaking. Luann Baker of the Mahaffey area is going to be presenting a drama that Sunday, and it's of Mary at the empty tomb. And then I'll be preaching in the second service that particular Sunday. So you'll want to, this Easter, you'll want to be here all morning if you can. That will be a great time together. But between now and then, I hope that we can prepare our hearts to focus on the historic events of that weekend. So today I want to begin kind of the Easter equivalent of an Advent series. I kind of want to begin a series that will accompany our hearts right up to Resurrection Weekend. And I want to speak to you about transitions at the cross. Now, when I think of that word transition, a number of different ideas come to mind. I think of the old 35-millimeter slide projector. Do you remember that? And it went, and the transition happened there. And before that, remember film strips? You know, my kids never saw film strips, you know? Beep, beep, and then the amoeba gets eaten by the whatever, beep, you know, and you move that, transition from one slide to the next. And today, if you look at PowerPoint, well, you just saw us transitioning, we fade through our songs, but man, you can do all kinds of crazy things. You can have them flipping around and zipping in and out and zooming and everything. There's all kinds of transitions that happen in multimedia presentations. But there is one thing that they all have in common, and that is this. When a transition occurs, what was is no more. And okay, turn now to John chapter 8. So back to the Gospel of John chapter 8. And as you do, let me just make a couple comments on that transition from fear to freedom that we just read about. Let me emphasize as you're turning to John 8, what he said there again. He says, perfect love, which is what we experience from Christ, drives out all fear, which is what we dealt with before Christ. Because fear has to do with punishment. And we were due some punishment before we met Christ. The one who fears, he says, has not been made perfect in life, in love. And what he's saying is the one who fears hasn't really understood what happened at the cross. That sentence, that perfect love drives out all fear, is central to what I want to say to you today. Now you're in John chapter 8, right? And I want you to look at verse 32. We're going to read four verses there. It says this. Jesus is speaking. In verse 32, he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Do you hear that kind of theme once again coming along there? That this freedom that we have comes through the truth, and the truth has to do with the son, God's son. Jesus. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now as we look forward to Resurrection Weekend, let's talk about this transition from fear to freedom. You know, everyone knows there are two different kinds of fear. One of them is a healthy fear. I have a few healthy fears. One of those is a fear of heights. You know, every now and then we need to go up and clean. Boy, we haven't done it for a long time. Every now and then we need to go up and clean the filters in that projector there. And so we have a ladder that if you stand on the, if you're as tall as me, if you stand on like the next to the top rung, I think, you can reach up there and do that. And I've done that. I've stepped on that stepladder. I've been up there. I hate it. I hate it. Because I have, and I'd like to say, well, I'm not afraid of heights. I just have a healthy respect for heights. I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid of them. They scare me. There's a couple other things I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of guns. I like guns. I have guns. But I'll tell you what, they're a dangerous thing. And every time one of them's around, I'm always watching. Where's that thing pointing? What's that guy doing with that? And there have been many times, I got a little minute here, I'll tell you this story. There was a guy who lived, I got to be really careful because he lives within 20 minutes of this building. There was a guy who was with me in Georgia when I went to college. And he was dirt poor and he had a family, a big family. And he was in the same apartments as us and he wanted to go hunting. So I took him into town and I bought him a hunting license. And we were going to hunt squirrels out behind the house there, out behind the apartments there. And one of the other neighbors loaned him a 16 gauge. And so we're standing in the apartment complex. This is a place with kids and everything. And he says, which one of these is safe? And he closed the bolt. It was a 16 gauge with a bolt. And he squeezed the trigger. Boom! Right out from underneath the steps we were on. You know, or under. We were underneath the upper level. You know, there was like this porch and then there's a deck up there. Right out past the laundry, right out in the parking lot, he shot that gun. You know? I'm scared of that. That's a healthy fear. I took that boy hunting and I never went hunting with him again. You know? I'm scared of motorcycles too. I have a motorcycle. But one time I was doing a wheelie on a Yamaha 750. It put the fear of motorcycles right in me. I love my motorcycle. But I never get on that motorcycle that I'm not afraid. When you stop being afraid, that can be a problem. There are healthy fears that people have, that you need to have. But there are also a second kind of fear. There are unnecessary fears in this life. There's irrational fears in this life. There is misplaced fear in this life. I love dogs. There are some dogs, though, that when I walk up to them, and I don't know what it is, and it's baloney when people say, dogs can tell if you're mean or not, because I love dogs. But there are some dogs, when I walk up to them, they're like, they want to run. And I don't know if it's because I'm 6'2" and 220 pounds or what. But that's an irrational fear because I wouldn't hurt that dog for anything. I love dogs. Two kinds of fear, a rational fear and an irrational fear. Let me be perfectly clear about this. If you have not received Christ as your Savior, if you have not become a Christ follower, you should have a healthy fear of God's wrath. That would be a good thing for you to have. Because Jesus says in Matthew 10, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot harm the soul. That would be an unnecessary fear in Jesus' mind. Instead, be afraid of those who can destroy both. I'm sorry, be afraid of the one. Instead, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, if you have not made your peace with God, if you have never turned away from your sin and placed your faith in Christ, you should be afraid. That's what Jesus says. But if you're a Christ follower, if you're following after Him, God wants you to move from that fear to the kind of freedom He's spoken about in the passages we read this morning. Because if you have turned from your sin and placed your faith in Christ, then all that fear is unnecessary. The cross transitions us from fear to freedom. Let's talk about a couple different fears that that the cross removes. And the first one, this is the first one that people think of, the fear of death. The cross of Christ removes for us the fear of death, because everyone at one time or another is afraid of death. I really don't look forward to ceasing to breathe, but the cross of Christ has removed that fear from me. And I certainly don't fear what's on the other side of death, because my life is hidden in Christ. You know, death is an enemy to humankind. I say that because the Bible says that. The Apostle Paul is writing in what's called the resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. And he makes this statement. He says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy, but the cross destroys that enemy. And that's why he goes on to add, in what maybe was an early hymn that the church sang, it might have been a poem that he wrote spontaneously, when he says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that because of the cross of Christ, we don't have to fear death. Now, make this real personal for a minute. Think of Sharon's mom. Think of Ethel Hughes. Think of Mildred Yalcey. They're standing near death's door, or so it would appear to us. Many times, people have fooled me on that, and they've lived for years afterward. But because their lives are hidden in Christ, there is nothing for them to fear. Because they knelt at the cross of Christ, they have transitioned from fear to freedom from that fear. And they can face death with a whole different disposition. My favorite story about that is years before he died, my father had a heart attack. And I drove from Bradford, Pennsylvania, down to Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh. I think I beat the helicopter, you know? And when I got in there, there was Dad being wheeled from room to operating room. And I caught him in the hallway. They already had that tape on his face, you know, and the stuff going in. And you know what I said, right? How you doing, Dad? Stupid, right? He had transitioned from fear to freedom years earlier. And he said, whatever's ahead of me, I'm okay with it. That is because of the cross of Christ. That is why that happens. There's a second transition that the cross of Christ brings us, a second fear, rather. There's a second fear that the cross of Christ transitions us from, and that is the fear of punishment. Now, again, let me be very clear. Outside of God's grace, we should have a fear of punishment. You know, I grew up in a generation that loved to say, God is love. And by the way, that's a biblical sentence. It comes from 1 John 4:7. God is love. And the Bible emphasizes that over and over again. One of the most famous verses in the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God is love. The very next verse after that says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So that verse speaks very loudly of God's unspeakable love for us. And for those who have opened their heart to Christ, those are verses that are very, very comforting. But while they speak of God's love for us, they indirectly remind us of God's unimaginable hatred for sin. Do you understand that? Sometimes you hear people say, you know, I don't think God's as bothered by sin as people make him out to be. I think God is loving. And I wonder about that. If you wonder about that, how bothered God is with sin, just take a look at the cross. Because the cross is where Jesus bore the entire weight of God's disgust with sin. The cross is a place where you see God takes sin very seriously. And because of that, we should also. In fact, you can't even call yourself a Christian if you do not take sin seriously. Apart from the cross of Christ, we have good reason to fear God's wrath. But in Christ, we find freedom from punishment because Jesus took that punishment. He freed us from the curse of the law, the scripture says. He freed us from sin's penalty. I don't look over my shoulder all the time and wonder, is God going to try to get me? Because if you've come to the cross, you are no longer an object of God's wrath. Instead, you are an object of God's affection. And if you were an object of God's wrath, because of the cross, you no longer are. Instead, God loves you very deeply. And the Bible teaches that again and again. I mean, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, in the very first chapter, in Romans 1:7, he says this, to all who are in Rome, who are loved by God. Loved by God. When he's writing to the church in Thessalonica, he says, we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. Loved by God. Even Jude, when that tiny little book of Jude, it's only one chapter long. In the very first verse, Jude says that he is writing to those who've been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. He loves you. He keeps you. I was trying to think of a way to just kind of let you know how God loves you. And this is such a lame illustration, but it's all I could come up with. It's been a busy week. But I can remember, I had a friend over one time, and he was over for a Saturday. We were kids, and we're doing whatever kids do. You know, I don't know what we were doing. And in the middle of that, I felt kind of hungry. I said, hey, I'm kind of hungry, are you? And he looked at me like, yeah. And I said, let's go find something to eat. And so we went bebopping into the kitchen, and I opened a refrigerator door, and there was Kraft individually wrapped slices, which, by the way, were invented right here in town, right? And I said, oh, hey, there's cheese. You want one? Yeah, yeah. I said, here, have two. And I gave him two, and I took two for myself. Off I went. Off we went. He looked like he had received contraband. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, you know, is anybody? And I realized then and there, he's not allowed to have in-between meal snacks. I was. I liked that. I had this great freedom. I want to think my parents loved me more than his parents loved him. That's probably not true, and that's why it's a lame illustration. But here's the deal. Because of God's great love for you, you don't have to be looking over your shoulder every moment. I'm not saying that you can do whatever you want, you can sin any way you want. What I'm saying is your guilt is taken away because of the great love of God that was poured out in the person of Christ at the cross. That's a beautiful thing, to be loved that deeply. You've been transitioned from fear to freedom. Okay, people fear death. The cross frees us from that fear. People fear punishment. People fear punishment? Boy, I don't know why that's hard to say. The cross frees us from that fear. A third thing people fear is repentance. That might sound odd to you, but it is a fear with which people struggle. I mean, how many times have you spoken to friends? Maybe you're sharing your faith with them, and you detect that they have a reluctance to come on board with Jesus because of what they would give up. And as you're speaking to them, maybe even they're bold enough to say, I don't want to be a Christian because of what it would cost me in terms of my lifestyle. And that's true. Following Jesus does require changes in your lifestyle. And that's what this series is about, transitions in your life. Jesus says it's wise to count that cost. Yeah, he's talking in Luke chapter 14. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. And I've often thought, why did Jesus pick a tower? I guess it's because it's so visible, you know? He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? And then Jesus applies counting the cost to build a tower, can I afford to do this, with counting the cost of following him. Am I willing to surrender the things I need to surrender? Because everyone who thinks for just a moment knows that you cannot claim to be a follower of Jesus and continue in sinful behavior. So Jesus says, think about it before you choose to follow him. But if you do think about it, I think you'll see that it is really worth it. The investment pays off. Because the fact of the matter is, true freedom is only found in real repentance. When I first moved to Kerwinsville in the late 90s, I was asked to visit a young man who was in jail. He'd never been to this church, but I believe his wife had been here. And she asked me, would you please go visit my husband in jail? And naturally, I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went in. It was my first time in Clearfield County Jail to visit. And I don't know if you've been there or not, but there's glass and you pick up a telephone and he picks up a telephone. You sit on a stainless steel stool and he's on the other side on the phone with you, and there's a computer thing, device counting, you got 30 minutes and then it's going to cut you off. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him, and naturally he's in there because he broke the law. And he's not just broken the law of the land, he broke God's law. And I guess breaking the law of the land is refusing to respect the authorities. I asked him, I said to him, you know, you've really messed up here, and your life is not a life that seems to be following after God. Are you willing to turn toward God and find forgiveness in Him? Are you willing to repent, is what I was asking. That word repent, nobody outside of church people know what that even means. And so I'm trying to say it in every way I can so he can connect with what I'm saying. And he says something like this. He says, "No way, Pastor Steve. I love my freedom way too much to ever become a Christian." Ah, you're laughing. Some of you got it right away. I don't even have to explain it. Here's a guy who's in jail with no freedoms, telling me he won't repent because he has so many good freedoms he doesn't want to let go of. Wow. But in reality, he's not that unusual. Lots of people are afraid to repent of their sin. And what they need to understand is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7. The Apostle Paul is talking in 2 Corinthians 7, long about verse 10, he says this. He says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation." And here are these next three words: "and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow leads to death." You see, worldly sorrow is sorrow over what you give up to follow Jesus. Worldly sorrow is maybe sorrow at being caught, or sorrow at what you might sacrifice because you know it displeases God. And that leads to death, he says. When you have a sorrow over the things that you must repent for and you refuse to repent of them, the end of that is death. On the other hand, godly sorrow is sorrow over what we have done that has alienated us from God. Let me ask you something. Is there something you need to repent of? Have you been afraid to? Is there stuff in your life that is inappropriate? The cross actually transitions us from fear of getting rid of the garbage in our life to realizing it's garbage. I don't need to be afraid to get rid of that. And a freedom to drop it and leave it behind and say, I want to follow the one who loved me enough to die on the cross for my sins. The cross transitions you from fear to freedom. Are you willing to get rid of things that are costly to you, that are precious to you, and exchange them for something eternally precious and much more precious? That's what freedom means. Freedom means that you're free to really live because death no longer has the last word. Freedom means that you're free to follow Christ without being pushed into it. You follow Him because you trust Him. And freedom means you're free to turn away from your sin because you're not afraid of what you may miss out on. All of this is because you know that God loves you. And as you look forward to Easter weekend, let's shake off that fear. And let's transition to freedom because we trust in God's great love for us. I want to ask the musicians to come. And I want to put down the sermon for a minute and just talk to you heart to heart. I want you to think about what fears have been keeping you from the freedom that was purchased at the cross. And probably, for most of us, fear of death is not the issue that it once was. Maybe for you it is. Maybe when you think about death, you know that hell's on the other side and you need to repent and trust Jesus. For most of us, the big fear is that issue of repentance. Because we're afraid of what we'll give up. We're afraid of what we'll lose. The Bible says that that kind of fear leads to death. But that godly repentance leads to life. And I'd like us just to pray together that we would turn our hearts toward Christ and that we would leave behind anything, all those fears, because of the freedom he purchased at the cross. If you're comfortable doing so, let's stand together and we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, each of us turn our eyes to you at this moment, our hearts toward you. And I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, that they at this moment would recognize what you did for them at the cross. And that they would open their hearts to you and say, I want to leave behind the things that are of this world and the things that are separating me from you, God. I want to repent, to turn away from them. And that they would place their trust in Jesus and what he did at the cross when he paid for our sins. And that you would transition them from death to life. Jesus, you said, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me will not be condemned. He has crossed over, transitioned, from death to life. So this morning, if there's anyone here that needs to make that transition, may they open their heart to you at this instant and say, God, I turn away from my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. Forgive me and give me eternal life. And then may they and all of us live lives that are glorifying to you. May we not be men and women of fear, but may we find freedom to love you and follow you because of what you've done at the cross of Christ. I am so convinced, God, that much of what detracts from wholeness in Christianity is fear. Fears that are simply unnecessary because you've taken care of all of that. And for that reason, God, we can rest in you. And we can follow the most commonly repeated commandment in all of the Bible, fear not, because of Christ and what he did at the cross. May we rest in your grace, both now and forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen.